Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. It's February 23rd, 2006, and this is show number 7. On today's show, we share some news about the escape plan, talk about grown-up dollhouses, grown-up pillow fights, and offer a review of the new movie, Curious George.
Escape Adulthood Podcast Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. My name is Jason.
And this is Kim.
Coming to you straight from Madison, Wisconsin here. Let's see, we're on the verge of winter being over. It is still freezing. We got pounded last weekend with the snow.
Yes. We're ready for spring.
Yes, and we're very ready to go down to Florida for another speaking engagement. We're going to be down there for a couple days, so bring on the sunshine, right?
Yes. Even if it's only 50, I will be sitting on the beach.
Yeah, definitely.
Not in a swimsuit, but I'll still be sitting.
Okay, well, we wanted to kick off today's show. We've got some new features we're adding to the show, changing some things around. And we wanted to introduce some music. This is PodSafe Music, which can be found on GarageBand.com. We're hoping to highlight some music from independent artists that kind of fit the theme of childhood or escaping adulthood, kind of just whatever we kind of come up with. So I was able to find this song called Childhood Places by Benjamin Costello, and it's been in my regular iTunes rotation recently, so check it out.
It feels so cold today, knowing that you're gone away. I know you need to go, but I wish you'd stay. All my senses collide. I know I've got to bend. You keep on saying this is not the end. I know no matter what, you are still my friend. I just wanna be where you are, and I need you. You are the highlight of my day. You make my smile not go away. And if I could, I'd have you stay, but I can't ask that of you. So I will smiling faces, I will remember you in childhood places. I was a sorry guy, so far gone I didn't realize. And you came into my life and you helped me fly. I don't want to come down. I know it's your turn now to find out what your own life will allow. I'll live without you, I just don't know how. I'll take it one breath at a time. And I need you, I need you. You are the highlight of my day. Make my smile not go away. And if I could, I'd have you stay. But I can't ask that of you. So I in childhood places.
Well, that was, again, Childhood Places by Benjamin Costello. You can find his stuff and other good PodSafe music at www.garageband.com.
I like that song.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Good evening. Here is the news for Paris.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
Okay, we've got the news now. Now for the news. First headline. Pillow fight. This is out of San Francisco. Pillow fight erupts amid shrieks, giggles, big crowd lured by internet postings and word of mouth. Nearly 1,000 people drawn by internet postings and word of mouth converge near San Francisco's Ferry Building on Tuesday night for a half-hour outdoor pillow fight. The underground event erupted at 6 p.m. in the center of Justin Herman Plaza with a mass rush of shrieking, laughing combatants, many of whom arrived with pillows concealed in shopping bags, backpacks, and the like. I haven't giggled so hard for a really long time, said San Francisco resident Amy Davis, 35, an office manager for a construction company that manufactures stone facades for buildings. The rules for the affair were simple. Tell everyone about the upcoming pillow fight, show up with a concealed pillow, and don't hit people without pillows. Flash mobs, a phenomenon in which adults converge to do something silly, rely largely on cell phones and the internet, spreading word of events via email, chat rooms, and text messaging. Word of the pillow fight had been circulating for weeks. It was San Francisco's first organized public pillow fight. Some participants thought it was the first in the United States, but such absurd events have occurred in other countries. No injuries, no cops, and lots of smiles, Bullwinkle said after it was all over. This was Amaker Bullwinkle, a Palo Alto artist with purple streaks in her hair, who claimed affiliation with a mysterious group called the Pillow Fight Club. What do you think about that, huh?
Wow. When's it coming to Madison?
Yeah, that was cool. I really liked how one of the people quoted was a 35-year-old office manager. I think when I first heard this story, I was like, oh, a bunch of teenage kids right. got together, frat party kind of thing.
Right, totally IMing, like, let's all meet at this place
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, so this the photos are pretty hilarious, too. Pretty cool. So,
I think I actually heard something about like a Canadian one, or maybe it was London or something like a couple months ago. So
really?
Yeah.
They're breaking out all over the place.
Right.
Then, huh?
And to be honest, when I first heard about it, I thought it was kind of strange. You know, my first reaction is like, what? Like it's some kind of cult like type thing. But
right.
this article kind of goes through and just says how it was just for fun and people had a good time with it. No one got hurt. It was nonviolent. It was very like playful and it seems kind of right up our alley.
Yeah, I think what stood out to me again is no injuries, no cops, and lots of smiles.
Right.
I think because, you know, these things can turn into something terrible. But
right.
pretty cool. I hope we should organize one in Madison. That would be pretty fun.
I don't know if we know enough people, but, you know, all it takes is a couple and then start spreading, right?
Who knows? All right. Next headline. This one is out of Tokyo, I believe. Actually, the article appeared on Times Online out of the UK. Grown-up dolls' houses are big in Japan. Every child has dreamt of being small enough to fit into a doll's house. In Japan, they're making the dream come true. Estate agents have been instructed to sell two homes that are exact copies of dolls' houses, and it is adults, not children, who are queuing up for them. The homes are adult-sized versions of Sylvanian families' dolls' houses, and the buyers can even choose scaled-up copies of the furniture. Epoch, the toy company, has built the full-size homes to tap into the fanatical following that Sylvanian families has in Japan. The toy makers, actually, get this, plan to expand the development into a Sylvanian housing estate.
Jeez. So let me get this straight. People liked these dollhouses, and now like contractors are building models of life-size models of these little houses.
This is what it says. It even goes so far as to say that they have recreated the plastic laminated wood effect planks that on the miniature houses were intended to mimic weatherboarding. So they're going all out on this stuff.
What in the world?
I got to be honest. I think this is a little bit too weird for me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I just can't. I'm trying to picture like how these people thought of this, like their kids playing with this dollhouse, and they're like, "We want that house. That's perfect." You know,
exactly. Can we just make this bigger? Yeah. Although, you know, if I think about it, my brother had the Castle Grayskull.
Oh
and,
my!
For He-Man. Now that yeah. maybe if I could get a contractor to build that in a full scale model, maybe we could live in a castle.
You know what we had growing up was the street of the Sesame Street. You know,
and so, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, yep. It was like Little People or Weebles or something like that.
That's a friendly place.
I know. Well, actually, there is a life size, but it's on set. You know, right. I'd like it to be a real place. If you know,
maybe they have developers that are coming up with these estates that they're working on. Maybe someone could do a Sesame Street one, but they'd be like condos. You could buy condos
nice.
On Sesame Street.
And I totally have that like metal garbage can out in front for like Oscar.
For Oscar. Yeah. That would be great.
That'd be sweet.
So do you people out there, do you think this is crazy? These dollhouses?
Are you on the list to get one?
Yeah.
You know,
where do you stand on this? And let us know if you have something from your childhood that you would like to have a contractor, architect build, let us know. We'd love to hear it.
Life size. You know, some of the Barbie houses, those I could go for, but I don't know. We didn't have like a full-fledged dollhouse when we were little. We had a Barbie house.
All right, so. And I don't want to live in all pink. I'm sorry.
Well, it had an escalator.
Headline number 3, is America stressed out? This is a little bit older study, but I got this from about.com. Came across the wire to me fairly recently. About one-third of Americans have felt or feel close to having nervous breakdowns, according to a 1996 study released in the July 2000 issue of American Psychologist. The results of the study were based on responses by a little over 1,400 participants. Here's the thing. They compared this to studies in 1956 and 1976. And many more Americans feel close to having nervous breakdowns today than in 1976 or 1957. Apparently, 1996, 24.3% of people said that they were close to having a nervous breakdown.
So now, one quarter.
Keep in mind,
of
this
all
is
people.
Like 10 years from now. So who knows where this could be at now? It's got to be up over 30.
Right.
1976, it was just under 20%, and in 1957, it was 17%. So this number is steadily getting higher. In the 1996 survey, the major problem Americans felt might lead to nervous breakdowns were relationship issues such as divorce, marital strain, etc. Work, financial and health problems were also issues of concern. To me, I don't know about you, but this is not a surprise to me. I hope that they did not spend a lot of money on this study because I think tons of people are close to nervous breakdown, which to me is why we're doing this. We're trying to like, it's particularly the escape plan.
Well, here's the key question is that was adulthood always stressful, but now in the last, 10, 12 years, talking about mental illness is more acceptable.
Mm.
That's something that the article goes on to talk about is like, you know, adulthood is adulthood is adulthood. Has it always been the same with the stresses, but now it's okay to talk about mental illness and mental strain, or has it gotten worse?
Has it gotten
There's
worse?
The debate, you know.
Right.
I don't know.
It is hard to say. One thing is for sure is that, we have all these high-tech gadgets and technology that's supposed to give us more time and make our lives easier, and it really is a fallacy because I think what it does is it does save us time, but we fill it up with other stuff. And then we need to have the time to fix all of these electronic things that break that have saved us time. So
and make money to be able to afford them all.
Exactly.
But one thing I have heard, I don't know if you've heard this before, is the concept that, back when, you had to go hunt for your food and obviously you had like horses and no cars and things like that. That like the Little House on the Prairie days,
Right.
You actually
I remember them
that actually you didn't have any more time then because everything took so much longer.
Right.
Like dinner took way longer to make because you didn't have anything instant and you had to go walk to the store or whatever, like to get your, who knows? I haven't watched Little House on the Prairie in a long time. But
this is how we know the pioneer days by watching Michael Landon. And all.
But you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know, but I don't know if it is busier or, I think it's busy in a different way. Expectations are so different. There's clubs. There's, you know, kids are in so many things. You can't tell me that the Little House on the Prairie kids were in soccer and ballet and clarinet and, you know.
I don't think so. Yeah, probably not.
But they were doing their chores with Pa, right?
That's right. That's right. And that mean girl, she was...
Ellie.
Yeah. Oh, did not like her. And as we head into our top story, we're back talking about the escape plan. Just the other morning, we had an opportunity to get interviewed on the radio with
Fletch and Dana.
Fletch and Dana, the WOLX here in Madison. They're the oldie station. And I've been on there a couple times to chat with them. This is Kim's first experience on the radio since...
Seventh grade. I was on for winning the... Science fair.
Right. And what was your topic again? What was your experiment?
The question was, are dogs colorblind?
Yes. I remember reading about
that. You enjoy this too much.
Scientific journal a few years ago.
Yes. I wanted to know if
study.
They were.
Well, and are they?
Yes. Yes, they are.
This is confirmed.
According to my seventh grade, you know, testing.
But. I'm sure there was no margin for error whatsoever.
It was tight. It was, you know, airtight.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, we had this interview. They had a chance to talk to us a little bit about the escape plan. And so we got an MP3 from them and are just going to roll this interview right now. So take a listen.
Sunshine Now 19 at WOLX.
Let us escape for just 1 minute. I'm talking about escaping adulthood for just 1 minute. You may have gone to WOLX.com and read the comic strip Kim and Jason. Well, Kim and Jason are in the studio this morning. It's Kim and Jason Katecki. Now, Jason, you're the one who pretty much does most of the drawing and everything, correct, in the comic strip?
Yeah, I'm the chief creative guy.
And how did the whole idea of Kim and Jason come about?
Very sappily, if that's a word. I used the drawings to help win over Kim when we were dating.
And, so Kim is the inspiration.
Yes, yes, she's the inspiration behind it.
You're
all.
Just the
and
art.
I guess it worked.
Okay. Still yep. Together. We know that on the website you did something very inspiring for me and maybe for others with the new year, something that you've called the Escape Plan, 40 Ideas to escape adulthood, at least for a little bit of time, and they all have some sort of whimsy in them. Where did the idea come from?
Yeah, well, you know, we've been doing this Kim and Jason thing for about 6 years, and we wanted to see, is there, talk about escaping adulthood, and we're like, is there a tangible way that you can really do this? And so we sat down one day and decided to come up with a 40-day plan that had different challenges each day. And the whole point is to get you thinking and acting in a more childlike way.
So give us an example of one of the challenges in the escape plan.
Well, one of the examples was called G'day Mate.
G'day Mate.
And this was challenge number 25 was to talk in a phony voice or accent to a complete stranger.
And then stay in that character?
Yes. And I have to admit that this was the hardest one for me out of all 40 because I just couldn't pull it off. I just don't... I totally punked out.
Sounds like a Seinfeld episode.
It does, yeah.
It was tough. We both ended up doing it going through a drive-thru at McDonald's.
Which is probably pretty weak.
Because you don't have to be face-to-face
with someone. Yeah, but we both did talk to the person face-to-face afterwards and said a few things.
So it didn't take a lot of time, didn't take a lot of prep. You just had to get an idea and then execute.
Every single one is meant to be like 15 minutes or less, so it doesn't take a lot of time.
What was the most fun? What did you do that was the most fun?
I would have to say one of the most fun was, I don't remember which one it was called, but it was about adding a little color to your day.
That was one of my favorite that I saw on your website, and I loved how you both did completely different things.
Yes. Yeah, well, I ended up taking some food coloring. Well, we both took food coloring, but I made scrambled eggs green, so I had some green eggs, and I made my Captain Crunch in blue milk, and then I had red orange juice.
So the mission was just to add color to your day somehow, some way.
Some way,
Kim,
yeah.
What did you do?
I actually, my desk is right by a window, and because the sun had been so bright, I filled a whole bunch of glasses with different colored water. And so kind of like a stained glass window effect.
Nice.
All the different colors shined in throughout the day. But we had some Voyagers. We have other people that have joined in to do the challenges as well. And it was kind of neat to see what they had done. Someone else, someone I worked or we work with, came and she had like every color imaginable that she was wearing.
In her outfit.
Yes,
right.
Like rainbow socks, you know, bright orange and all this stuff. So it's kind of neat to see how other people interpreted the challenges.
One of the missions that caught my eye is called Instant Karma. And I know it had to be inspired by the TV show Earl.
Yes.
The point with instant karma is to try to right an old wrong. I think what I did with that is I called my brother up on the phone, and when we were kids, I was pretty mean to him. I broke his arm playing basketball. I threw one of those big Fisher-Price buses at his head, and he still has a scar. So I called him up and, you know, apologized to him, and he was just cracking up that I would, like, think of that.
After all this time.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. One of my favorite challenges was that we had to eat something we've never had before. And so this, I spent like a half hour in the grocery store. I didn't have to, but I just wanted to find something really unique. So I found veal baby food. Mm. And we've got some really classic video on the blog of me eating that.
Oh man, horrible.
Yeah. So where can you find some of these ideas if people want to be doing these things? So this sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, all you have to do is go to escapeplanblog.com. And it has all 40 challenges right there. You can read what we've done. You can read what other people have done. We recommend that you say 40 days, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this. But if you want, you can just pick one at a time and kind of get your feet
one
wet.
One day a week, one day a month.
Right.
Exactly. You're good to go.
And share what you have in the comment section, because it's cool. Every challenge, there's a different solution based on who's doing it.
Very fun. For people particularly who need a little bit of extra fun in their life. Right. Hey, thanks for coming in and thanks for doing this. This
thanks
is awesome.
For having
thanks
us.
For having us.
It's Kim and Jason. You can also check out kimandjason.com for the comic strip and all sorts of other good stuff there too. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks guys.
So and there we go. All about the escape plan. Good stuff, huh?
Yeah, they're nice people to work with.
But yeah, it's always kind of fun to be in.
I don't know
with
if you heard that who won the escape plan? You might want to check the page.
Yeah,
I saw that I pulled it out with 21 to 18, but I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think those are the last numbers.
The voting is closed.
Well, I think something was wrong with the balloting machines. I think I'm protesting.
You're saying something's wrong with your Mac?
I'm just protesting. That's all I have to say. It was razor thin. My favorite statistic is that there were six challenges decided by one vote. You won four of those. I won two.
Okay.
So if I would have won two more, then...
I would have still won 21 to 20.
No, I would have won 20 to 19.
I
would have won. So two votes. Two stinking votes... And I know that you probably hired someone to stuff the ballots. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Well, you do what you got to do in election time.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it was regardless of who won. I really had a good time with it.
Yeah. It was a lot more challenging than I actually even thought. And we wrote challenges, obviously. Mm-hmm. But doing them, there were definitely days like the night before where I laid in bed like just like, what am I going to do for this? You know, so it really got me to see how opposite I am from thinking and acting like a child in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just a lot of it fit into my life, but it wasn't something I was going to do anyway. That's for sure.
I think for me that it got easier as it went along.
Yeah.
Once I got into a routine. And I think even though we've been off of it now for a week or so, I still have very similar mindset. I think it really kind of changed. And we talked about wanting to do it again. And I think that's probably a likely chance that I'm going to start over with it without having to do all of the videos and all of the production and all that stuff.
Right. But just to do it and see how it just fits in and just continue to kind of loop it, you know?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, number 10 was Memory Maker. And the idea is to create a memory that will last, that you'll remember 10 years from now. And that was a very specific challenge. But I got to say, half, if not most of them, most of the challenges I will remember for a long time.
Oh,
they really made an impact, and I had a lot of fun with it.
And if, like, for the listeners out there, if you haven't read some of the comments on those of the other Voyagers that really, you know, took it the whole 40 days,
mm-hmm.
that is worth price of a mission. I mean, some of them they blew us out of the water for. I mean, they were awesome.
It was impressive. And I'm looking forward to now that the first stage is over and more people can kind of join in, that to see what more and more people come up with.
Definitely.
Today, one of these lucky contestants will win his or her weight in fish right here on Wheel of Fish.
Oh, goody, goody. I've done a good thing, and I get a prize.
All right, on to our promotion. Last month, a reminder, we had said anyone who makes a commitment and starts the escape plan before our next podcast, which is right now, would be entered to win a calendar. Now, we have had a few people start.
Yes.
We're going to reserve that no one wins because people that have started have not kept up with it.
Right.
And so I guess that just shows that it is a challenge.
Right.
It's not something going to happen overnight.
It just doesn't, like I said, it doesn't just naturally work into your day. You have to actually make time for it. You have
right.
to plan to do it, schedule it, and put it in your planner, whatever, however you manage your life, you have to actually plan it.
Right. One thing that I think I mentioned on the interview was now that they're all done, you get on there, anyone can start with any challenge they want.
Right.
But the real champions are the ones who can make it the 40 days. And we've got a handful of us now. We're talking about trying to do something cool for people who make it all through all 40 days.
Right.
And it's not really that big of a time commitment. Again, it's 15 minutes a day maximum usually for most of
yeah.
us. So it's something yeah. that you can really get into. So we just want to reissue this challenge of just start it, man. I mean, do not be one of the statistics of people who are near a nervous breakdown. That would be terrible. You
right.
know, we have a solution here of what you can do to kind of help yourself out of that rut. So
I think people are always looking for tangible steps. That's why people pick up the magazines that say top 10 ways to do that and 45 tips for this and that. And it's like, here's your 40 challenges. Like,
right.
take it one at a time.
And what's cool, if you do just one, we'll make a difference. We'll change your day for sure.
Right.
So what about this month? What's our promotion this month?
Well, on iTunes, they have this really cool thing. If you punch in the Escape Adulthood podcast on iTunes, you'll see that you can write reviews. So our promotion this month is if you write a review of this podcast on the iTunes Music Store, then you will be entered to win a random, super cool, special prize. And
We say it's random, super cool, because we haven't thought of it yet, but it is going to be. Those are high words to live off to.
Right. And so, if you know, it just kind of gives people some feedback if they find our podcast on iTunes, that they kind of get some ideas of what you guys all think about it. So that'd be very cool.
Like to hear from you.
Welcome to KimandJason.com.
Supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
All right, Kim and Jason update section. Really quickly, a couple things going on in our neck of the woods. We launched a new affiliate program. So if there are
That's
any
very cool.
bloggers, website owners, e-zine administrators, anybody out there who would like to make money for doing very, very little, you can sign up for the Kim and Jason affiliate program. We have, I think, 20% commission, which is
right.
really cool. All you do is you can sign up, you get a banner, or you can pick a specific product. And if you promote it on your website or whatever, someone clicks through and buys it, you get 20% of that sale. Actually, you get 20% of their entire order.
Right.
Even if you only promote one thing. So pretty excited about that. You can find out information in the show notes.
And we also have a cool promotion going on right now. I don't know if you've been to the post office lately and seen the super cool stamps that
yes.
they have. Children's book character stamps. These are the hot things. These are hard to find.
Yeah,
let
they're
me tell
sold
you.
Out in a lot of places.
But we have some, and we are using them as part of our promotion. Basically, if you buy eight greeting cards, you get 4 free stamps. So,
and that works for multiples of 8.
Right.
You get 16,
32.
You get 8 stamps
right.
then.
Right. So for every 8, you get 4. Does that make sense to people? I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do the multiplication, you'll figure it out. So free stamps.
Borrow a third grader who's learning their multiplication tables, or is that in first grade now?
I'm not sure. It took me quite a while to get those down. Let's see. The last real quick thing. We just introduced some new ebooks.
Yeah.
And the first trifecta are the Essential Stinky Volumes 1, 2, and 3. And they're basically for anyone who likes Stinky or wants to like Stinky. This is Kim Stuff Skunk in the comic strip. They're just a collection of some of the earliest Stinky comic strips, and they're $1.99 a piece, so you can't beat it. You can print them out. You can share it with friends, whatever. And then we also have an ebook for the escape plan that we did too. So people had been asking, you know, can we print out all the challenges or whatever? So we came up with just a 10-page ebook that has all 40 challenges in them. Just got that online. You can print out. That's also $1.99. And then you can have all the challenges with you wherever
right there.
You go.
Yep.
So
it's very convenient.
Good stuff. That's the Kim and Jason update.
All right, now it's time for the facts and feedback section of our show. We got a nice email a couple weeks ago from a Susan Priest, and I'm going to read that to let you know what she sent us. It says, I got an MP3 player for Christmas, and I'm having a blast finding great shows. I really liked your podcast, and I'm trying to get geared up for the 40-day challenge. I posted about it on my own blog, so you may get a community of live journalers coming your way, and her site is spiritgirl.livejournal.com. We could put that in the show notes, mm-hmm. right? Let me know if you have more info about your spiritual journey and the types of religious groups you speak at. I understand it's a careful line of being who you are, but not wanting to get boxed in to a certain label that would limit your services. There was a similar quandary on a podcast called The Frequency, a Christian rock radio station where the bands who are called to be out in the world choose to live by example more than by words and labels. I find that quite encouraging and challenging. At any rate, keep up the good work and getting tuned onto your podcast. It's a definite challenge not to get overlooked or overloaded, but finding a balance of good content that is good for me as well. I think you are a keeper. Susan Priest, aka Spirit Girl.
Thanks, Spirit Girl. Appreciate the feedback.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say straight out, definitely we are Christian.
Yes.
That's something that we don't really hide from, but it, basically what she said, I for one am not a label person.
Right.
I don't like labels. I think one of our big missions is just to try to be out in the world and make a difference. And the biggest one of all is to help people like get back in touch with that childlike spirit. And
I think labels tend to kind of put walls up. So that's what we're trying to avoid is, you know, you can't really be out in the world and reaching a lot of people if you've got walls all around you because people
right.
put you in a box. So I think Spirit Girl brings up a good point. And although, you know, we do a lot of, Jason does a lot of speaking and that in churches and, you know, businesses and you name it. But we just try to, you know, be out there and see where it fits.
What I think was a big thing that she said is like living by example. And if anyone ever thinks of me as a Christian, I would want it to be because of how I live and how I act as opposed to the label I wear on my shirt or what I put on my website. So
right. I think that's a good point.
If you happen to have any comments or feedback on our show or anything we talked about today or how to make it better, we'd love to hear it, especially with the new things that we added this show. So just send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com. And help us out. Vote for us on Podcast Alley. Tell a friend about this show. And hey, this time, if you do a review on iTunes, you'll even have a chance to win a super cool, random, special prize.
Can't wait to get it.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
That is so cool.
Cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Okay, now it's time for our cool thing. Jason and I enjoyed this cool thing on his birthday a couple of Saturdays ago. We drove off to the mall and saw the new movie, Curious George. It was awesome. I don't know what I liked more, Will Ferrell's, you know, portrayal of the man with the yellow hat or
the soundtrack.
Can soundtrack I just tell you, great.
Jack Johnson, he is awesome. And this music, I mean, he does the whole soundtrack, and it just is very whimsical and playful, and really adds a lot to the story. But Will Ferrell, of course, is Will Ferrell, and there's not much you can do to beat that.
I mean, it was definitely a toned-down Will Ferrell,
right.
But his personality came through in the character, and Curious George was lovable.
Right.
I'd have to say that, you know, the plot was...
It's pretty typical. Was it a G, you know, PG?
Yeah, it's pretty typical, but it was still fun, and David Cross actually was... one of the characters in there, he was the son of the museum owner or whatever,
he's
I guess.
He's the guy from Arrested Development.
Arrested Development. Yeah. He's a stand-up comedian. He was really funny. He really did a good job. And I was, as much as I like the Pixar stuff, it was kind of neat to see the 2D animation, the old school. They did a really good job with that. But yeah, the soundtrack was a really good highlight because I think it really, I like when movies do that, when they have a good soundtrack like that unifies the whole thing.
Right.
And I don't know how he did that, but it's very whimsical and childlike. The actual CD is actually, it says lullabies on it, which I could totally see that, but it's also something that any adult could listen to and really enjoy, which is not common because I've heard some of your kindergarten stuff that you played, and that stuff makes my ears
Raffy,
bleed.
Okay? Yeah.
That is terrible stuff.
Yeah, this is a nice balance. It's right there where both generations would enjoy, adults and kids. But
yeah. If you get a chance, check it out. It's a totally great for the whole family. Dads, moms, everybody will probably like this movie.
And even if you don't have kids, like, you know, we went just us. But I have to say that I probably laughed harder than I would have if we just watched it at home, being in the theater, because of all the little kids laughing. It was quite
that was
hilarious.
Pretty good.
So it was good.
What's up, Doc?
Now, this won't hurt a bit.
Okay, today's prescription, folks, it's a double dose. It's the same as last time. Take the escape plan challenge. Your prescription is to pick one challenge to do and go for it. I may point out, I mentioned challenge number 10 is Memory Maker. If you would start a pillow fight, that would probably qualify as challenge number 10, wouldn't it? I bet all those people who are at that pillow fight will remember that pillow fight for at least 10 years. Yeah.
Right.
So,
well, even if it's just in your living room, you know, a pillow fight.
Why not?
Out in the Capitol Square
and
or something.
It should be unannounced, I think. You know, if it's dad, he should come out. The kids are watching TV. Come out with the pillow and just start.
Well, I like how in that story it talked about how they had to have it concealed or whatever.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, it's totally, like, in a bag, and then you just pull it out and just go
right.
nuts.
I mean, you would really raise some eyebrows and kick some butt. That would be fun. So
that would be. Well, that's it for today's show. Be sure to check out escapeadulthood.com for today's show notes, featuring links to some of the things we talked about here today. For Jason, this is Kim, signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening, and remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.